Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies be lies.
Welcome into the show. Michael Carroll here with me. We continue our tournament talk. And one of the reasons Michael is here is because tournament basketball is part of the equation. We had Aggies basketball yesterday here on the station. Of course, with the Aggies win, we'll have another game tomorrow. But the guys are out and about. That's why Sean's not here with us. He's not dead. He is just going to produce the
RIP.
Well, RIP to him on this show yesterday and today. He'll be back on Monday, maybe. But he is producing the next block of shows, and they're going to be out at Carbach today. So if you want to go out there and join them and take in the tournament day two and also watch those guys do the show, you can do that. Paul Gallant will be out there from 12 to 3, and then the Killer Bees. Well, Brian and the other B. And Brian's a B too, so I guess it works. Because
yeah, it counts.
Because the B you're used to, Jeremy Branham, is the play-by-play voice for the Houston Cougars. The victorious Houston Cougars yesterday in a runaway win over SIU Edwardsville. And normally we don't talk about this team looks what a basketball team looks like when they get off the bus. And funny, a lot of the talk with the Cougs was they're not tall. Like compared to, you want to say traditionally basketball tall, a bunch of 6'8 guys with their wingspan is like 7'6", 7'5". They've got guys whose wingspans make up for their relative lack of height. But you just saw a different breed of athlete against SIU, and that's to be expected. It's not what you initially think about. It's usually a football thing. Okay, Georgia walks off the bus and they're playing Georgia Southern. There's going to be a difference in the type of athlete you're going to see. It was like that against SIU. Like the Cougs, even their fluidity, everything about it was okay. This is a mismatch from the jump. There isn't going to be this team who shoots the ball so well from three that they make it a game at any point, mostly because they weren't going to be able to get good looks. The Cougs were just going to smother them as part of the formula, and it worked out well yesterday. Good for the Cougs not to turn the ball over very much. Forced some turnovers, played your defense, and got out of there with an easy win. So easy that you got a lot of guys from playing time. No one played over like 25 minutes, so it wasn't a very taxing game in any sense. And you get out of there, now you face one of the staples of tournament play over the last decade, two decades really, in Gonzaga. Gonzaga has an easy win over Georgia, and it started because Gonzaga shooting. They lit up the Nets, they lit up Georgia. They went like 11 of 15 from three. And then they eventually finished 12 of 20. But they made 11 of their first 15 threes and really got out in the first half against Georgia. In fact, the second half, I think it was even. I think they played to a standstill. But when you're up big like that, the game is pretty much over. And that's an outlier for Gonzaga. I saw that stat flash across the screen and I decided to look. Is that something the Cougs are going to have to worry about? Just a hot shooting basketball team? The Bulldogs, Gonzaga, they are like a 35% three-point shooting team overall in the season. And it gets even worse when they face tournament teams. Now, they have some, if you look at their schedule, very early they played some ranked teams. Baylor was ranked at the time. Of course, Baylor didn't have a very good year, and they blew out Baylor. I think a reference was made to it by Wally Zerbiak. He said that the Cougs need to be on high alert because of Gonzaga and their tournament tested, and he mentioned the Baylor game. Well, Baylor's not good. Don't mention Baylor. I know at the time we thought Baylor was going to be good, but they're not good. So that mean doesn't that win doesn't mean that much to me. You beat an average basketball team very early in the year. But if you start to look at what Gonzaga's done shooting-wise, and I think that's the only way they really would beat the Cougs, if they can just shoot the lights out, against tournament teams. That includes three games versus St. Mary's, their conference foe, UCLA, and Kentucky. Excuse me, that's five tournament teams, five games against tournament teams, excuse me. Gonzaga won the West Coast Conference title, shooting 1 of 15 for 3, from 3. Over in the other games, there were four losses. They lost to St. Mary's twice in the regular season, lost to UCLA, lost to Kentucky. Through five games against tournament teams this year, up until they lit the nets up against Georgia, shot 21.6% from 3. 21 makes, 97 miss out of 97 shots. So that's the outlier performance yesterday. So if you're concerned about Gonzaga having a great night, maybe they had their great night against Georgia. They are not that type of team. That's not what they do. They do not shoot the ball well against teams that are high caliber. They just don't shoot the ball well from three overall. What happened had to be a shock to the system for Georgia, because I'm sure they went into that game thinking, we can compete with them athletically. We just got to play our game. All the things they say. Don't turn the ball over. Play good defense. And we got a real shot to win this game in the 9-8 matchup. Turns out Gonzaga had a hell of a night from behind the arc, and it got them the win. It's just not who they are. So I wouldn't expect to see that again unless it's one of these things where it's tournament time and all their shooters lose their minds. Maybe the backdrop where they are is one that they like, and it turns out that it's just going to be a rough go against anyone who sees them in that building. But I wouldn't look too much into what happened against Georgia. It was a great night for Gonzaga. Credit to them for getting it done. But that ain't their way to win games. The Cougs have a real shot to smother them. And athletically speaking, I think the Cougs have the advantage. You just gotta defend the three. And I think they're more than capable of doing that. So this is a battle of teams coming up tomorrow, with streaks on the line, Gonzaga's and their long streak of making Sweet 16s. And so the Cougs are right there. Not as long of a streak, but we know the Cougs have had a lot of success. And there's some respect. In fact, there's respect from one of the Zag stars, Khalif. Let me get his name correct. I don't want to butcher his name. And now, it's on the file. I think I lost the name. Khalif Battle is the guard. He has some experience playing the Cougs. He was in the AAC with Temple, so he knows the Cougs and their program well, and Kelvin Sampson. Here's Khalif Battle, one of the Zag stars, on the matchup for tomorrow.
Played them 9 times in my life. You know, I was in the American Conference, and they were in the American Conference. They were dominating that conference. I mean, Coach Sampson, he's one of a kind coach. The way they play is one of a kind. I mean, they're so immensely tough and so tough as a team. And defensively, you know, that's their identity. You know, and they can really score the ball as well. You know, I know a couple of guys over there as well. But I mean, this is a great program. I'm happy for everything that they always achieve, but you know, come Saturday, it's time to compete.
I was looking to get worked up. He was too damn respectful. He was too respectful of the program. I was like, look, I don't have anything against Gonzaga. They've been one of the great stories in college basketball. They've done everything they could do except win it all. They've been to title games. They've certainly been a dominant force out west as far as consistency. Who's been more consistent out west than Gonzaga? It hasn't been USC or UCLA. UCLA has had certain runs as well, but over the last quarter century.
But the longevity of it,
yeah,
right?
It's been Gonzaga. They are the standard bearer for West Coast basketball, even though most people wouldn't think about Spokane at all when it comes to being a basketball power. It's part of the story as well that you've been able to build a program in that part of the country and continue to win basketball games at a high level. But I need you to die a painful death tomorrow. That's all. As much as there's plenty of respect likely between Mark Few and Kelvin Sampson, and we heard Khalif Battle and his respect for the Cougs, I need that respect to lead to you dying, maybe not so slow. I want this thing to be over quickly.
You want it to be a quick one?
Yeah, quick death. Maybe not so painful. I like a quick death, actually, because it means I don't have to stress in the second half.
Not this long, arduous, torturous process. No,
I don't need the 65-58 game where the Cougs get a defensive rebound and or an offensive putback to seal the day. Let's get out early.
Another 70-30 type game.
Maybe that's too disrespectful, Gonzaga, but that'd be cool. something like where the Cougs get off to a hot start and Gonzaga regresses to their normal shooting and they start the game 2-11 from 3 and it seals their fate. And the Cougs have a 15-20 point lead halfway through the second half and it's like, okay, we're good here. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I'm looking for too.
Yeah.
There's not. I don't see Gonzaga being able to have that level of shooting like they did yesterday.
No.
Like there's. That was a when just you're on fire every now and then. That's an outlier game as you laid out with some of the other games that they played against tournament teams.
Yeah, it's not who they have been. We shouldn't expect it to be who they are unless you deeply believe in once a team gets hot in the tournament. It'll continue. And while that has proven to be the case in years past, 11 for 15 to start a game from three is ridiculous. No one should expect that. It's not going to happen. The question will be, will they shoot well enough to keep them in a game? Because games are about runs and momentum. And at some point, you as a fan and as a player have to get yourself situated about, okay, this is the game it's going to be. Like if they start shooting the ball pretty well and it's a close game throughout, All the thoughts of an easy win go out the window. Then you got to strap in. Okay, this is how this game's going to be. Let's find a way to claw our way to a victory. I hope for a different way to go about it just because I'd like to have a pretty stress-free Saturday night.
And then, same.
Yeah,
same.
And then you can sleep comfortably watching all the games on Sunday knowing you've got a Sweet 16 in your future. So that was kind of the roundup of that setup as far as what the game might look like. Tomorrow, of course, I mentioned the Aggies, they get a win less comfortable, but they find a way to put away Yale. Yale tried to put a run together in the second half, but the Aggies, there was a sequence where they hit a three and then got an offensive putback to go up by three possessions, and that kind of sealed the day for them. So as far as we're concerned, it was a good day overall for the city and the station as a whole. I don't know who's going to be running that game. Maybe the person on the schedule who has to run Aggie basketball wasn't thrilled. Oh, man.
The person that saw it was like, oh.
Oh, but hey. You don't do it for free, so maybe that's the benefit. But hey, you know, it's a Saturday.
That's how I used to look at it. Yeah. Hey, I got paid. I'm getting paid.
I understand you might have different ideas about how you want to spend a Saturday, but as Don Draper once said, that's what the money's for.
Exactly.
A little less than what people in the 50s and 60s were making as an ad.
Yeah, probably.
Ad person.
Probably a little bit.
Probably a little bit less.
Not
but
the
hey,
same.
We will compensate you for having to come in on a Saturday. I don't even know who that is. But hey.
I would guess Cam, but I don't know offhand.
Yeah.
So good luck, Cam.
Good luck, Cam.
He enjoys it. He's fine.
Yeah, he can sit here, have the game on the radio, have the game on air and do whatever he wants. Watch television.
Yeah,
watch.
See?
I'm sure he's got a streaming app on his phone or on his laptop. It'll be good. Cam will be fine. Whoever it will be, we will have Aggie basketball this Saturday and also Aggie baseball this weekend, right? We got that too.
Today.
Yeah, we got Aggie
today
baseball.
Today at 5:45 coverage begins.
So we are your home for not only the tournament, but the Aggie specifically. And, of course, we'll talk about the local team as they are on their way to see Gonzaga tomorrow. As anytime I mention the Cougs in any sense, you can expect the Cougar paw from Michael. If you're
looking, it's going to happen pretty much throughout the show.
Yeah, if you see him on Twitch or Twitter or YouTube, he has thrown up the Cougar paw, and rightfully so. It was a nice, comfortable win.
It's like just a twitch that happens. I just hear it, and it just goes. Mm-hmm. It just goes up.
Hey, you had the polo on yesterday. You don't have no need to wear it today, I guess, because maybe you need to wash it between now and yesterday.
I need to wash it,
and also. There's no game. It's not game day. Game day is tomorrow. How do you do it? Are you a person who watches these games at home because you don't want to be around people, or watch them around people?
I don't want to be around people. Why do
in
I?
In general, or just for basketball games?
Both.
Understood.
is all the above applicable here?
Sure. It's okay, how I treat things. Like if a game matters, you're not going to get me out of the house to watch it. If it matters to me, I want to be my insane, crazy self and not have to tamp that down because you're around. Like, yeah. If it's a game that doesn't matter, you want to invite me someplace, cool, I'll watch the game with you. I mean, I don't care if the Browns are playing the Jags. I don't care about that.
Yeah, a game's a game at some point. Yeah.
But if it's a game I care about, if I've done enough research or have followed this team for years, no, I don't want to be around you. I don't want your dumb questions ruining the experience. Like, it's a more extreme example of how you feel about Super Bowls. Like, for our entire lives, my entire life, your entire life, unless you had a different rooting interest, the teams that have been in these Super Bowls, you don't care that much about. You'll watch the game and maybe pick a side, but I'll watch Super Bowl with you because my team's never in it.
I'm also just not a fan of, like, when people are just yelling random things at the screen, like, run the ball! It's like, but that's not what they're trying to do at this case, or just fans in general frustrate me in different ways.
There was a time when this, back I think now 2010, the 2010 World Cup, we had a big push here when we were still 1560, and Jake's, which is a restaurant just around the corner pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
We had a World Cup party. It was U.S. versus England. I think it was maybe the first game of that World Cup for the U.S. team. They played England a couple times now in the World Cup. And we were sitting down at Jake's watching the game, and someone uttered the phrase, "Why don't you guys do a power kick?" I believe, and with a lot of confidence, like with his chest, like he knew what he was talking about, I believe he was making a reference to a free kick, but he used the term power kick, and I was like, okay, I'm in the wrong crowd. I mean, like, the U.S. had a bad loss yesterday against Panama in a tournament that I don't care about, but they've dominated since its inception over the last, like, half a decade or so. But that's not as embarrassing as an alleged soccer fan saying power kick in the middle of a World Cup.
What? Power kick? What are we watching here?
Look, it's one of the things where that guy heard, hey, we're playing England in something. People are excited about the World Cup. Let me get involved. That's what it was. He didn't know any better.
I mean, I get wanting to be involved. Like, I got invited to, like, a rugby match a couple weekends ago, and I watched it, and I was like, cool. But I'm not going to, like, if I don't know the sport, I'm not going to just yell random things. Power punch that person. Yeah,
don't yell at the screen if you don't know the terminology.
Just don't. Yeah, just take a step back.
Like, if you want to wear your Landon Donovan jersey.
Hey, respect.
Understood.
Yeah.
But keep the rest of it to yourself. There are people around.
You know,
I can hear you.
You don't have to say everything that pops in your head. I'm just saying.
Certainly not when it's power kick. That was an unfortunate situation. The result was better than what we saw if you were watching USA Panama. At least in that one, it was a tie that ended in a draw. The U.S. lose a game 1-0. Willie P. called in about that earlier this week, and I don't even know if I got to his question because he had a couple of things he wanted to talk about. Because that's how much I didn't care about this game. Win or lose. And it turns out the U.S. lost. And no one else cared because there was barely anyone at SoFi yesterday. Outside of, like, Thierry Henry, who got a big moment with the Panamanian who scored. Because the guy the night before or at the hotel being interviewed said Thierry Henry was his favorite player. So he scores a goal in, like, the 94th minute, seals the U.S. fates. And he jumps over one of the barriers. And because Thierry Henry and the CBS people were on set waiting to, you know, maybe talk before the extra time period began, they're sitting on the set. He jumps over and gets on stage and just hugs him. And, like, seven more Panamanians come over and hug him too because it was a game-winning goal. And Thierry Henry was like, I don't know what's going on, but hey, buddy, love you. And then they eventually interviewed the guy after the game, and he explained all the things about how Thierry was his favorite player and so on and so forth. It's interesting to watch that broadcast because you had Maurice or Edu, who is a U.S. international former. You had Clint Dempsey, one as well. And you watch those two watch the Panamanians because we see it live. You barely see those guys, and they re-showed it. And these guys are like, I can't believe we just lost to Panama again. And so they're kind of trying to get it out of the way. And you watch Thierry Henry and the Panamanians celebrate. And it was a moment, if you don't care about the U.S. team, it was a great moment. If you do, you're pretty miserable that this happened again, even under a new manager. So it is what it is. I've seen enough U.S. soccer disappointment to not be moved by what happened yesterday. Trust me. Okay. We'll get more into the tournament as we go along today. We'll get you the times for the Cougs on Saturday and also the Aggies because you'll be able to hear that here. Let's talk about some of the other things that happened. And also, I want to get to this. Will Wade, who apparently will be the NC State head coach, there's a lot of discussion about, hey, he hadn't signed his deal yet, but how can you make this announcement when you're still in the middle of a tournament? This is one of these cases where everyone's more concerned by it than the actual people involved. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll do our spring training update from the Astros, our final one, as they will play a couple more games and then be back in town when we get back to face the Space Cowboys before the regular season begins. So a lot to get to here. Michael Carroll here with me. He'll be here still at 11:30 to do what you should or shouldn't watch.
Yes, in fact, I will join you at 11:30.
Yes, yes. He will remain at 11:30 to do that, our weekly segment with him. I watched the Severance finale last night. It was Severance, so there's some weird stuff in it, but overall, in my opinion, a pretty good finale. And of course, you've got Reacher and Wheel of Time, all the Prime shows that are on, and of course The Pit on HBO. So a lot to get to. I'm way behind The Pit. I got to catch up on that. But there's plenty to talk about in that segment, and plenty to talk about before we get there. We will be back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5. This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So a little cleanup from that first segment. I mentioned that Baylor played the Zags, and Baylor's not very good, at least not up to the expectations people have for them. They were the eighth team in the country at one point, very early in the year. The Zags did shoot 13 to 31 from three. That's about 42% against Baylor very early. But other than that, they've had poor shooting performances from three against tournament teams until Georgia. So we'll see what happens on Saturday against the Cougs in that 1-8 matchup. A lot of people calling it a matchup that should have been an Elite Eight matchup, but because of where the Zags were seeded, we're getting it in the second round. So we'll see how it plays out. Did want to mention that. They did play and shoot well in game one against Baylor very early in the year. Okay. So a couple quick things, because I talked quite a bit in the first segment, so we need to get back on time a little bit. Let's get to something we mentioned very late in the show with John Lance. We know the Texans are trying to add to a roster that has some holes. I mean, they've done what they wanted to do. I was going to say what they could do, like they were limited, but they had other options on the offensive line than the guys they went after, whether it be paying Cam Robinson, what they did, or trading for Ed Ingram, and of course, Lakin Tomlinson. They had other options. That's who they chose, and we'll see how that plays out. But they brought in Matthew Golden for a visit, the Texas Longhorn, at least for a year. He was actually a Coug first, kind of how it works now. When he's drafted, possibly as a first round pick, he'll have that Texas logo next to his name, and he'll be read off as a Texas Longhorn. When in actuality, for the most of his college career, he was a Coug. But either way, that's the guy they brought in. Whether you like that particular choice or not, I do like that they're bringing in a potential first-round wide receiver, because they should not be content with what they have. That is a unit that's average at best, and certainly elevated by having a number one in Nico Collins. I don't know where you rank him. There's so many really good wide receivers, but you want to call him top six, top seven, I think that would be fair. When you throw in guys like Chase and Jefferson, and of course, Tyreek Hill, when he's at his best. There are others, but Nico's not far behind, if behind at all. But I don't like Christian Kirk as a number two. I think he's a slot guy. If you want to depend on a rookie, that could be hit or miss. But generally, at least recently, rookies have done just fine, even in a lower position in the draft. So they are interested in bringing in potentially another receiver to pair with the guys who are the big money guys, in Kirk and Nico, and maybe it'll be a young guy who doesn't cost less. And with Kirk being on a one-year deal, it does make some sense to not have to do this process all over again. So maybe Matthew Golden's the guy, but he was in for a visit, according to Aaron Wilson. I imagine there will be others that fit the bill for the Texans as they work their way towards the draft. Going to be pretty quiet in free agency. I mean, you'll see what you might consider low level, and more realistically to say low money signings going forward. They may be done with making signings that people actually, oh, they were taken aback by it. Oh, that's interesting. It might be a lot of, hey, you want a camp body here or a camp body there. Maybe some of that going forward up until the draft. Keith wants to talk March Madness. As I said, let's get back on time. So, Keith, hang on. I just want to do that quick thing as we need to kind of get squared away as we continue with the show. Keith, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? You can. 713-780-3776. I did want to say this. All that stuff about McNeese State being bothered, and I think, Keith, you might have actually called about it. Maybe that's what you're calling about, the McNeese State versus Clemson game, and would McNeese State be bothered? I pretty much gave you a non-answer because I had no idea. Turns out McNeese State not bothered by their head coach potentially taking another job. So we'll get to Keith when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Looks like the first game of the women's tournament is on right now, like Michigan and Iowa State. I always wonder what those environments are like when you play in the building of one of the higher seeds and how many people travel to your team. I'm looking at it on the screen right now. Not a large crowd, but that's generally how it goes. I'm sure the Notre Dame game will be packed to the brim. That's a good environment for women's basketball. But it's like the Michigan band. And also because Michigan's in the men's tournament, there's a divide there. Which cheerleaders get to go to the women's tournament? Which ones get to go to the men's tournament? Like, when you have two teams in the tournament, does the B group go one place and the A group goes one place? Yeah, it's not a great crowd, but that's to be expected, as I said. You not only are in South Bend, Indiana, not a place a lot of people like to travel, I would imagine.
Probably not.
You also have, of course, there are going to be parents and all that stuff. You also have got the men playing, and they're the Big Ten tournament champions. They won their first game, so it is interesting to see. And we know the tournament is devoid of Caitlin Clark, but they do have Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins, so we'll see what type of viewing audience the women's tournament gets as they're getting going right now. Let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some March Madness. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale, thanks for having me on. Obviously, yesterday, a tough one for Clemson. I had Clemson going into the Sweet 16. Former President Obama had Clemson in the Final Four. McNeese, despite Will Wade, you know, heading out of town to NC State, with the Aura King, Amir Khan, the team manager, they get it done. Clemson's first half was one of the worst showcases and, you know, representations of basketball I've ever seen. 13 points in a tournament game. They went to the Elite Eight last year. What happened to Clemson? And another one, what happened to Louisville? They're the 10th in the AP poll. And they thought they were seated too low at the eighth, and they got blasted by Creighton.
Yeah, it was a rough rough afternoon into the night for the ACC. You've got Duke and UNC, and UNC had to win their play-in or their first four game to get in. Duke hasn't stepped foot on the court yet. They'll do that today. The ACC has fallen off. That's why you start to see these conversations being had by talk shows regarding should they combine with the Big East. I guess that would be basketball specific. There is no real Big East football conference anymore. So part of the reason for that, and Clemson doesn't really fit the bill here, the ACC has hired a lot of first-time coaches or longtime assistants on staffs, not guys who've coached at a lower level, if you want to put it that way. They've given them these first jobs in a power conference, and it's shown. Like, the SEC has really invested in basketball. We're going to hear from Will Wade. He was a former SEC coach. He is now going back to power. Maybe. He still hasn't signed the deal. But he appears to be on his way to the SEC, a power conference in NC, and going to coach at NC State. So that is something the ACC probably needs to get back to. Stop giving guys their first opportunity in your conference. Give guys who've done it even at a mid-major and see if that leads to more success. And it's, I say they should, but you look at what Miami's done, hiring Jay Lucas, big-time assistant from a power program, but never been a head man before. And then Florida State went and got one of their own. I think his name is Luke Lux. He is someone who has been around the game before. He played at Florida State, I believe. He's only 34 years old. He's a young guy. He was at Florida State back in from 08 to 12, and he was an assistant for the Kings. So they went the pro route, but not a guy who's ever been a head coach before. So more, I think coaching is such a big deal in college basketball specifically. You can get by in college football just having dudes. I mean, Ed Ogeron would show. You got dudes, you can go win. Of course, he hired Joe Brady, and that worked out for him. But coaching is so important, particularly in the NIL era, where you can fashion a new team in a matter of a couple months. You need someone to put it together. Recruiting will always be the bright, shiny thing that people latch onto, and you hear someone is an elite recruiter, people love it. But go get yourself a coach, and then eventually that guy keeps winning games. You can go recruit guys. Houston wasn't a mecca for recruiting, and Kelvin Sampson built the team, and now they can't turn away five stars. I mean, excuse me, they have to turn away five stars is what I mean. They have one of the best recruiting classes in the country, and that was built off the backs of winning consistently with your specific way of doing it and guys that flock to the program. And we've heard people around that program say all the time, you got to be a certain type to come play here. And as long as you are and you're talented, we'll make it work. But you have to fit the profile of a Houston Cougar. And sometimes that sounds like nonsense because why turn away talent? But when you see it in action, you see it work, you understand what they're trying to do there. So they see it as a bit of transition. And right now, I think they're going the wrong way when it comes to hiring coaches. Speaking of Will Wade, we have sound from him because a lot of the conversation about Will Wade was, how could this leak? How could this particular news about going to NC State leak when you've got a tournament game and what it'll mean for the players? It was part of the conversation about betting. Wouldn't you lean Clemson's way because the guys would be distracted? Well, Will Wade says, I'm pretty honest, and this is what I told my players about all of it.
How did you handle this with your players as you led up to the game?
We talked about it. I mean, we were in practice when all that happened. And you guys know. I mean, look, you interview for a job, and then your attorneys deal with their attorneys. It's not like I'm talking to people every day. I mean, we were in practice at Brown, and Mike Martin, who I've known since I was in the Ivy League, he came out in practice and said, what's up to him? He's like, hey, you know you're trending on Twitter. So what the hell am I trending on Twitter for? He's like, oh, they said you took the NC State job. I was like, oh. And then I got back to my phone and had like 300 text messages. And so, I mean, look, that had nothing to do with it. When we got that night, I sat down and talked to the team. We had already talked on Saturday. And I mean, we're honest. I mean, shoot, half the kids I recruited, I told them, hey, look, the goal is to go Power 5 after this year, and some of you guys can go with me. And some of you guys, you know, I mean, so we all know what's up. And, I mean, shoot, our guys, this was great for them. They're going to have a lot of schools in their DMs tonight, too, looking to pick them up, pay them.
Imagine that. The people directly affected by the news handled it just fine while everyone's wringing their hands going, how could this happen? This is a disgrace. It's ruining these moments. And I don't know a lot about the McNeese State program, but it doesn't surprise me that the guys who play there think there's a better option out there. You heard part of it goes, hey, we talk about it. This is not the place we want to end up. Will Wade, you know, he may tell the people who need to hear it how happy he is to be at McNeese State and he wants to lead this program and he's done a good job. But the quiet part that he just said out loud is, no, I have goals to go someplace else. I was coaching the SEC. My goal isn't to stay at McNeese State. And the same could be said for the players. They don't want to spend their time being at a school that's a one bid league. They want to go play in the best environments in college basketball and have an opportunity to showcase themselves. And you heard him say NIL. I'm sure McNeese State does what they can. But if you're a McNeese State player and you go on a run in this tournament, what does that mean for your earning power? I do appreciate a coach just telling it how like it is when it comes to those conversations that people kind of don't want to discuss. Will Wade ain't trying to stay at McNeese State. Neither is players. We're trying to do other things.
And it sounds like he's been up front with them about that from the beginning.
From the jump. Look,
from
guys.
The jump. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if he goes, look, I'm only here because the only place that would hire me. I'm not sure that's what he said.
No.
But he is telling them what's real. At some point, I want to be so successful that another school comes calling, and that means you guys are successful too. And that means we all grow. We all find a way to make money, and that's part of the deal. Like, I don't know that roster and if any of those guys are going to be playing professional basketball in Europe or anyplace else, but it's the time to earn some money, and you're probably going to earn much more if you parlay a big-time season and tournament run into maybe some Power Four school needs a guard.
I'd rather a coach be upfront like that than just leave in the night or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, this is just straight up. Like you said, he's saying the quiet part out loud, but I think it's fine because this is what him and the players knew from the jump.
He included the players, who I always deem the most important in these conversations. They know, and they weren't bothered by it, and they went out and won a game against Clemson. Now they get to try to make it to the Sweet 16. So the Will Wade and his McNeese State players are just fine. The question is, will NC State be fine since he hadn't signed that deal with jobs coming open? That's always the interesting part of it. How solidified is that deal? And considering how straightforward he is, would Will Wade go, yeah, I appreciate it, but yeah, Texas called my agent. Other people have called. Let's have a conversation after my tournament run is over about, am I actually going to be the Wolfpack head coach? We will see where that goes. Okay, we will go to break with that. If you want to get in like Keith did, you can, 713-780-3776. Of course, we're talking tournament. We mentioned some Texan stuff. We'll get into the Rockets. They have a game tonight trying to extend their winning streak against a team who has a long losing streak. And Amen Thompson was on the floor. He's not going to play, but he's out there. So he's getting closer and closer to returning. So we'll get to that and more before we close out the first hour. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I got to make a correction, issue a correction. We may have Tyler Hero Amen Thompson part two tonight. Amen Thompson is probable to play. So after missing the last six games, looks like Amen Thompson is probable to play tonight against the Heat. In a game where the Rockets are trying to sweep that Florida trip. We talked about it yesterday. And the run they put on in the middle of the third quarter to get themselves some distance between themselves and the Magic, they went on the win. And they're going to face a team tonight who is struggling. I think the Heat's losing streak is at 8 now. They have lost in all manner of ways. For the most part, their losses come when they fall apart in the fourth quarter. So we know the Rockets have had an issue with fourth quarter performances. Well, they don't have the issues their opponent does. The Heat are bad. Bad overall, bad in the fourth quarter. Doesn't matter who they play, good, bad, average. You get them in a fourth quarter tight game, expect them to blow it. So usually when I talk with the Rockets, I'm like, hey, teams who play them think to themselves, hey, just keep it close. Let them kind of mess up and lose. And find a way to claw it out. It's been, unfortunately, some of the ways the Rockets have lost games in a season that's been really, really, really good. Well, they're facing the top of the list when it comes to this. So Rockets just hang around or just blow them out either way. But if it's a fourth quarter game, hell, you could be down by 10 and still win the game going into the fourth quarter. That's how bad the Heat are. So the Rockets just need to be within striking distance, and I would expect them to win the game considering the recent trend of what's going on in Miami. So Amen Thompson back, and it'll be interesting how they handle his return. Are they going to put him in the starting lineup? Because that was the conversation about Jabari Smith, and it turns out he's pretty good in a off-the-bench role. Is Amen Thompson immediately inserted back in the starting lineup, or do they wait? Because they have played well without him. And we know they played well with him when they inserted him. So it's good to see that he's back. Of course, we're still waiting on Reed Shepard. He won't be back likely until April. So the turn of Amen, and the Rockets nearly at full strength. That is good news. And I mentioned before we went to break, Daniel Lerner, who covers the Rockets for the Chronicle, posted a picture of him taking a jumper in warm-up. So I thought that was just, hey, he's getting closer and closer. Turns out, no, he's there. Probable means he's going to play as long as there's not some unforeseen setback. So that's good news as they try to secure a two seed. The Thunder have, I believe, secured the one seed in the West. It was a foregone conclusion for a while now, but they did that last night. So as we look at the standings for the Rockets, they are full game up on the Nuggets. The Lakers got blasted last night by the Bucks. LeBron didn't play. Luka didn't play. Bronny had a good game. Didn't result in a win. Lakers are in third. Grizzlies in fifth. The Warriors in sixth. And the Clippers right now will be the Rockets' opponent. If the season ended today, and of course the Clippers would have to make it through the play-in as well, they are in the seventh seed, tied with the T-Wolves, but just percentage points ahead. So we're getting a little bit of clarification. There is becoming some separation between second and fifth and sixth, but it's only two games between second and fifth, so the Rockets still need to play well, and that should continue tonight. If you look at the records, you see that the Heat are a bad team. Don't be that concerned if they play you close, because they do. They generally play tough, close games. You should be concerned if the Rockets don't pull away in the fourth. That's been the MO. So if you're looking up in the second quarter, why is this bad team still hanging with us? Don't worry. The Celtics were down by one going to the fourth quarter. The Knicks were down by a couple scores going to the fourth quarter, if not more. So these are some of the best teams in the NBA. It's just how the way the Heat are going to drag you into the muck. Be prepared for it. It may not be very aesthetically pleasing, but you'll find a way.
The Heat have enough to just hang around.
Yeah, they'll hang around. I mean, Tyler Hero will annoy you. He'll probably knock down a couple jumpers, all that. And Bam's a good enough defender to do things that it'll be fine.
It's not a Heat culture banner year for sure, but they still have enough firepower to kind of hang out.
Yeah, they will hang around, and then they will fall apart because their offense breaks down, and that leads to bad defensive possessions.
Exactly.
And you'll win the game. It's just kind of how it goes. So I fully expect the Rockets to be 9-1 in the last 10 and have a 9-game winning streak by the time tonight closes as they continue to fight for a top seed in the playoffs. All right, we will get out of hour one here. We'll do our camp update with the Astros. There's some news about a couple guys who are banged up. Of course, we talked about Luis Garcia. There is more clarification on his status. We'll talk about that when we come back in hour two.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.